Reward. What does a reward go to? A winner. For some strange way, I was a little sick yesterday, and so I stayed at home yesterday morning, and I found myself watching. You ever heard of the Nathan's famous, world-famous hot dog eating contest? For some strange thing, I was compelled to watch that. I have no clue why. I watched it, and I thought, well, I've wasted an hour of my life, an hour that I'll never get back, that I'll stand before God one day and say, Donnie, what were you thinking? You know, I watched that. It was the most disgusting display of eating that I've ever seen in my life. It was just disgusting. The winner ate 62 hot dogs. The runner-up, the guy who had been the ongoing champion for like 9 years, was dethroned. He ate 60 hot dogs in 10 minutes. 62 and 60 hot dogs, 10 minutes. Disgusting. I thought, why in the world would somebody do that to their body? They were having to move their stomach around afterwards. They looked like they were about to die after they got done doing it. And I was just thinking, why would you do that? But then they get the fat check. And then they get the world famous hot dog championship belt, like it was really something that's, you know, it meant something to them. It was their reward. People will eat 62 hot dogs in 10 minutes for a reward. Somehow they see that reward as a blessing. But sadly, there are many people, many parents, who see their kids as burdens instead of blessings. I'll never understand how a parent can drop a baby off in a dumpster and drive off. I'll never understand how a parent can drop them off on the side of the road and just keep driving. I'll never understand how a parent can take a life of their own child. And so many of the tragedies that we see, if you turn on the news and you watch pretty much on a weekly or, you know, monthly basis about children in this area losing their lives because of their parents and or parents giving away their kids. I'll never understand those things. And quite frankly, to be honest, there are a lot of parents who don't deserve to be parents, but because of you know, God knowing that they needed those kids and them just failing to ever approach their children, look at their children the way God wanted them to, they make terrible decisions. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we don't do those things, but we begin to act as though our kids are more of a burden than a blessing, when they're never meant to be seen as a burden. Now, I understand that there are, you know, many people who choose not to have kids, and if you pray about that and God places that in your heart and life, then by all means, that needs to be the path you take in life. And in fact, normally you end up having more kids that are just not your kids in your life than you would have if you hadn't had kids. But I do want to read this article to you, and really with the preface of this article, it's in the form of why people decided not to have kids, but it's not speaking to those that maybe decided prayerfully not to do that. I want to tie it in to help us see what I'm talking about with parents and how they can see children at certain times. In May of 2006, one of Europe's leading newspapers, The Guardian, featured an article entitled How Parenthood Lost Its Charm. Beneath the title was this summary: Europe's plunging birth rate has become a source of growing alarm in capitals across the European Union. Yesterday, Germany, with the lowest birth rate, became the latest European Union country to try to encourage more couples to have children by offering a package of incentives. Guardian reporters across Europe report on the crisis, and the article began this way. Standing in Magdeburg's maternity clinic, Dr. Herbertus Schultz, and I'm sorry for butchering the name, that's how it is, contemplated his empty delivery suite. In one corner, a fluffy stork with a red beak adorned a babyless incubator. He said, I'd like to be a bit more busy, have a lot more to do, to be honest with you. I've been working here for 25 years. We used to be full of babies, and now this is rarely the case. The article continues, during communist times, the clinic in the East German city of Magdeburg used to deliver around 2,500 babies a year. That number has fallen to 880. Together with another city located in East Germany, Magdeburg has the lowest birth rate of any European city. For every 1,000 inhabitants, just over 7 babies are born a year. What had gone wrong? The problem is that some people have become less tolerant of children, is what the article says. They see them as loud, stressful, and a bit of a pain, Dr. Schultz said. And he continued, they'd rather have a cat or a dog instead. The article continues to say childlessness is also an issue here in the States. 2 years before the article mentioned earlier appeared in The Guardian, a similar one appeared in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It began by introducing us to Joe and Deb Shum of Atlanta, who have chosen not to have children because kids would hinder their lifestyle. The couple married without children cruise to the Georgia mountains in their matching Harley-Davidson motorcycles whenever they want to. Their gourmet kitchen is outfitted with gleaming stainless steel appliances and trendy concrete countertops, but they don't have a kitchen table. Deb Shum makes the point, if we had kids, we would need a table where the kids could do the homework. And the article goes on to point out that in 2003, the birth rate in the United States fell to an all-time low of 67 births for every 1,000 women between the ages of 15 and 44. Since 1960, the rate has dropped by 43%. So the article concludes, but why are American couples no longer wanting children? Salon.com, a liberal online news site, asked that question, and one woman responded. Here's her words. I compete in triathlons. My husband practices martial arts. We both have fulfilling careers. We travel the world. And another asked, well, what would the return be on the investment of kids? Are there any laws that require my children to pay for my nursing home when I'm old? Are they going to be a sufficient hedge against poverty and loneliness at any point in my life? And you say, well, why did you read that article? I read this article not to really, like I said, having kids or not is a life decision you make prayerfully with your spouse and in your life situation. But here's the truth. There are a lot of people like that who have had kids. And they still look at their kids the same way after having kids. And that's the problem. When people choose to have children, but yet children, to be a burden and not see them as the blessing God has intended for them to be, then there's a problem with that. And there are moments every single day as a mother and even as a dad probably, at least at some point during the week, where we are guilty of being so frustrated with our kids and our children and the decisions they make and the way they're acting. And this is true of, if your kids are out of your home, this is true of you and your kids. And if we're not careful, we begin to see them and treat them and reflect upon them as a great burden instead of a great blessing that God has intended for them to be to us. And as messy as they can be at times and as burdensome as they may seem to be and make us feel at times, they're always a blessing. Always a blessing. And I thought about it this way. A lot of people would be grateful for the same kids that you have if only they could have kids. A lot of people would be. One of my dear pastor friends, he pastors Bethany Baptist, just up the road another 20 minutes. He and his wife, they're around 30, and they've been trying to have kids for several years. People in his own church have said hateful and harmful things that just, you know, tore them apart over their inability to have children. You know, they're praying about adoption. They're just praying that God would just move in a mighty way in some way. They so desire to have kids. They can't be around other families that have kids without their heart just swelling up and being so burdened because they long to have that so much in their own lives. I'm amazed at how encouraged he always is when we see him and talk with him. And every time I see them, I'm reminded of just how greatly many who would like to have children see children as a blessing and just how often people who do have children treat them like a burden. But the psalmist says that the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are God's gift to us and blessing to us. And we always need to understand that. Never need to forget that in the midst of all the messiness. In the midst of all this, we never need to forget that. And the final thing is, they have a purpose from God. Children have a purpose from God. Look at verses 4 and 5. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, that's referring to a warrior. As arrows are in the hand of a warrior, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, some people, I always laugh, some people take the quiver full thing literally and have a really big quiver and have a lot of kids. You know, we understand that, and that's cool. We know that, and that's different. Again, that's a prayerful thing for each and every person. But here's the deal. Kids are supposed to be seen by parents as having a great purpose from God. As we are to see our time with our children, our time in molding and shaping our children in the same way that a warrior sees the importance and the significance of shaping and molding his arrows before he launches them with the bow. You see, there's a lot of work that the warrior has to do before launching the arrow to make sure the arrow shoots straight, make sure that it will hit its target. And the same is true with parenthood. The same is true. God has given our children a purpose, a divine purpose, and meaning and significance in life. And our job as parents is to approach parenthood the same way the warrior approaches the molding and shaping of his arrow before he releases it, so that it will fly the course and the direction and the path that it is supposed to do. And we are to treat our children the same way. They are purposed by God, not only to bring joy into our lives and be a source of great blessing and protection, as this passage also deals with, to bring grandchildren. For those of you who are grandparents, I know when the kids get out of the house, their next great thing for your life is grandchildren. I understand that. But it's more than that as parents. It's more than that. We are to help them fly in the purpose of God. Help them grow up in the purpose of God for their lives. We cannot forget the whole context of verses 3 through 5. It starts with verse 1. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. That's the whole context of verses 3 through 5. So the very essence of 3 through 5 is that God does the building. Is that we use the time we have with our children, however limited or however great that may be, and we make sure they understand that they have a godly purpose, that in building our home and raising our family and raising our children, we help mold them and shape them to fly and to walk and to live in the path and the purposes of God. And if you are an influence in the lives of someone else's children, if you're not a parent and you're an influence into their lives, if you're an influence into your grandchildren's life, your nieces and nephews' lives, then you are to assist the parents in doing just that. I'm very blessed with a wonderful father-in-law, and I really am, and I would say that if he was here, and I mean, it's true. If he's not, I love him like crazy. He's a man of God. He's a preacher, a deacon in his church. He's the church member that every pastor wants. A just outstanding man of God, and one of the greatest things I love about it is that he never ceases to tell his grandkids about Jesus. Everything that they can ride on the tractor through the field, and he finds something to relate to God in their lives in some way. They'll go to the creek and they'll throw rocks in the creek, and he finds some way to tie all those things into their need when they get old enough and understand it of placing their faith in Jesus. Because he understands that the most important thing that we can invest in the lives of a kid, whether it's our grandchild, whether it's someone else's kid, and especially parents, if it's our kids, the greatest investment we can ever make in their lives is not to invest in their sports life, to even invest in their academic life. Even those things are greatly important and can lead to great success in life. The greatest investment we can make as parents and people who influence kids is to invest spiritually into their lives. And to help them understand that life is about far more than just making the cut or making the grade or getting the hit or doing this or that and celebrating and enjoying all the stuff that parents often celebrate and enjoy with their kids. The most important thing that we should do for our kids is help them to find and walk in the purpose of God for their lives. That is it. And I love sports, and if my kids choose to play, then they can play the sports. I love all those things. I'm not knocking those things. But those are not the greatest responsibilities that you have in the life of your kids. That's not the greatest goal that you have, and you should have it for your kids. I love the words God spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified or I set you apart. And I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nation. Even before Jeremiah was born into the world, God says, I had already set you apart for a purpose that you didn't even know at the time because you weren't even in existence. But I already had a plan in mind. I already had a purpose in mind for your life. And God says that about every single one of us, but every single child that is represented in this church. Before they came into this earth and took their first breath, God already had a divine purpose for their life. And dads, we can teach our kids how to hit a ball. We can teach our kids how to balance a checkbook. We can teach our kids how not to do this on this and not to do this when this situation arises. We can discipline our kids. We can do everything that a godly parent should to set boundaries and guidelines in purposefully raising our kids. But if we do not help them find God's purpose for their life, then that is what defines a failure as a parent. You're not a failure as a parent just because your kids are not like the superstars. You're not a failure as a parent just because your kids make mistakes all the time. Now, what defines failure and success as a parent, as a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, an influencer in the lives of other children is whether or not you help influence them for God. That is it. That is the single greatest defining factor for failure or success as a parent. Whether or not you help them to find that purpose, whether or not you mold and shape that arrow so that when it is released, it flies the way God wants it to fly. Now, is that arrow inevitably going to stray at some point and make mistakes? Yes. But never does it mean that you're a failure. You need to define your success as a parent as the time when you stand before God, knowing that you've done everything you can in your child's life to help them find the purpose and plan of God and fulfill that purpose. They're going to make mistakes and still mess up, and some of them may walk away from that, but that is not your responsibility. Yours is to make sure that you stand accountable and helping them find and fulfill the purpose with all of your intent, with all of your heart that God has for their life. You should never want your kids to follow in your steps more than you want them to follow in the steps of Christ. And when we do that, we fail to help them find their purpose that God has for them even before they're born into this world. And maybe you're praying about having kids one day. Maybe you're thinking about that spouse that you'll start a family with one day. Then we need to use this time and this opportunity until that takes place to be where we need to be with God, to reprioritize our lives so that we can be the godly parent, the godly father, the godly mother that we need to be, to make decisions that right now will better equip us to benefit the lives of our children spiritually from this point forward. Again, some of you may look at the mess at times and you may think that you're the world's worst parents. There are times I doubt everything that we've done. Some of you may think that your kids are unordinary when really they're just ordinary. There's exceptions to the, and there are some kids that just, I don't know how they're so smart at the age of, but listen to me. Just because they don't meet some unrealistic standard you or someone else had imagined, and in comparing them to other kids, and maybe you don't have that ideal kid that the experts print out the 5-point list to do and this, and you'll have this kid. Just because your kid doesn't always fit that, they're still extraordinary. They are still a gift from God, a blessing to you, and they have purpose from God greater than any purpose that you can give them. And just because you may almost lose your life daily by tripping over the hazardous materials on the floor, you may lose your food daily by smelling the hazardous waste in the diapers, just because their consumption of food and clothing destroys your family budget, your kids are still extraordinary. They're still such a great and tremendous blessing. And God has picked you for them. Picked you for them. He's blessed you with them. And as long as you help them find his purpose for their lives, then you will be a resounding success as a parent. And after all, got a couple more pictures for you. This makes it all worth it. They have those moments. They're fleeting moments, but they have those moments. And then the final one is this. And then this. So that's the best part when they're asleep, right? And then you turn around and see all this. They're blessings. Extraordinary. Miracles from God.